Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning I want to continue with this series of messages that I'm delivering under the general title of Telling Our Stories. 2 weeks ago, I spoke in terms of the significance of stories in both the Old and New Testament. Often, stories are a way to convey a truth that cannot be spelled out just in a literal way. And last week, I spoke about your story, and the story that is often born out of the struggle within your old soul. Many of the characters in both the Old and New Testament went through that kind of struggle. And it's a legitimate struggle to be able to hear that spirit deep down within you, which is your spirit and yet at the same time is the spirit that comes from beyond. This morning I want to speak about the necessity of having a support community as you tell your story. Old South Haven Presbyterian Church has been home now for a number of years. 6 afternoons each week, afternoons or evenings each week, to several AA groups, that is, Alcohol Anonymous. If you have ever attended a meeting of one of these groups or read their material, you would discover them to be, and I'm now reading from their preamble, quote, a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. For any support group, you can put in any word you want to instead of alcoholism to solve their problems and help one another. The format for their meeting really is quite simple. At each meeting, 2 or more of the attendees are encouraged to tell their personal stories. And sometimes those stories are painful, even if the teller might try to inspire some humor in telling them. And sometimes those stories express thanks to others in the group. Sometimes those stories embellish the truth, which happens often as we tell our stories. But the stories have a message, and it's not easy to really tell your story. Even if you have told that story often before, even if you are a very articulate speaker, but you have the support of the group behind you, encouraging you with their gestures, creating an atmosphere where you are accepted as you are, with no need for any kind of false facade. No need to present a person that you really aren't. For this is a group where confession can take place in the knowledge that forgiveness is granted. But not a cheap form of grace that does not encourage change, but rather a grace that is extended that would build the individual up to where he or she could be what God created that person to be. Telling one's story and experiencing community because others in the group allow that story to be told. Welcome it. Listen. And really hear. I've made the comment, I think once or twice even from this pulpit, that I feel the true nature of Christian community is more visibly displayed sometimes over there in the carriage house on a Sunday afternoon at one of those meetings during the week between Monday and Friday than even in our Sunday morning worship and fellowship. Yes, I do believe that. There are some religious journalists who have boldly declared that the most important development in North American spirituality during the 20th and 21st century has been generated by the AA movement. And out of that AA movement has come the whole idea of support groups forming around all kinds of situations that are the stories of the participants. I glanced through last Monday's Newsday activity section and found that there is now a separate section called support groups. And on that particular day, meeting in various locations around Nassau and Suffolk were the following: a parent support group, a coronary recovery support group, another one for individuals with brain tumors, one for persons with eating disorders, a tough love support group for families in crisis, a grief support group, and another one for sexual addiction. And those were just ones listed at its meeting on Monday and Tuesday of this past week. Think of the number of others held without the information provided by the newspaper. And each of these groups allows individuals to tell their stories within an atmosphere of love and acceptance, where the stories are heard because others in the group have similar stories. Though, of course, each story is a personal one and unique. As I indicated at the beginning of this sermon, two Sundays ago, we began this series of messages on the importance of stories. And on that first Sunday, we spoke about how we can get to the essence of something by telling a story about it. We spoke about how important storytelling was in both the Old and New Testament for writers as they tried to express what the whole message was about. And certainly one of the most significant titles for Jesus is teacher. And of course, last Sunday we indicated that of all the stories you might tell, how important it is to tell your own story. That story born out of your own struggle of the soul. The story that develops as you listen to the Spirit within you. The Spirit which I describe as being God's Spirit within you, that encourages and enables you to be who you really are. And this morning I want to take that matter a step further. We are helped in telling our own story by finding a small group, call it a support group, where our story can be told and listened to with respect, and where we can grow in our self-understanding by hearing the stories of others with whom we have something in common. And the reason I began today with describing the structure and the format of the AA group is because they offer a concrete illustration of the type of group I mean. Now, of course, the church was really created to be just that. The church began because individuals who had encountered Jesus through his teaching and through his preaching and still experienced this Jesus through his resurrection and the new life that they shared with them, these individuals sought out others with whom they could share that story. They were eager to listen because they too, in their own way, had also encountered this Jesus and continued to experience him in their daily lives. The church, that early church, was a true support community. And yet it's only fair and accurate to say that Jesus himself, as indicated in our gospel lesson for this morning, had no such support group, particularly in his time of need. In today's reading from Matthew, Jesus had gone to a very quiet, serene place for prayer, the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been there. I know what that means, to say a place of serenity. He took with him Peter, James, and John, three disciples whom he had come to trust. Three that were for him a potential support community. And there in the garden, Jesus wishes to spend some time alone, and we read of his story, the story of his personal struggle of the soul. And then Jesus, having gone through that wrestling experience, now seeks to turn to Peter, James, and John to share that experience with them. But each time he sought them out, he found them sleeping. They failed him when he really needed them. Needed them not to persuade him to do something different. Needed them not to fight his battle for him, but rather simply to be there to listen, to hear, to encourage, and to enable him for what lay before him. By the time they awake, it was too late. The opportunity had passed by. And what can be said about those three disciples can, I feel, in large measure be said about the church of today. We fail in large part for not being there when there are stories that are told and needing someone to hear. The church today only exhibits this open sharing if there are some small groups within the church wherein a person can share his or her life story at a deeper level and receive from others in that particular group something that they share together. Where this does take place, it enables two things to happen. First of all, it gives space for the person to share the struggle and to show and for the group to show empathy and give support. And secondly, it creates the type of community envisioned in that early church, a community for whom each member was called a brother or a sister, and the community itself was called a family. Now, I know many of you worshiping here this morning would want to say to me at this point, Tom, I do experience that within my church, or at least with certain individuals in my church. Well, that's great. But I'm concerned about all the others. Other faithful attendees who still have not experienced that type of community, that kind of support community that I have described. And yes, I'm aware also of people who don't want to share at that level, neither their dreams nor their struggles, because of vulnerability and the risk involved in that kind of openness with another person or persons. In our second reading for this morning, Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, lists the attributes or the traits to be found in a true church-based support group. Listen again to those words. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. You know what the word compassion means? It means to suffer with. Clothe yourself with kindness, with humility, with meekness, and with patience. Oh Lord, give me patience, but give it to me right now. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I love that word, harmony. It applies not everybody singing the same note, but a blend of different notes acting together in a beautiful chord that is in accord. I do believe that the various support groups that I listed this morning attempt to manifest those traits in their own group, thus becoming a true community. And I believe that there are people who have a story to tell, their own struggle of the soul, people who need the support of others in telling that story, that would welcome that opportunity within the church structure. Let me finish in this way. There's an ancient Hasidic tale that, from my point of view, emphasizes the value of such a loving community. The story goes, a good rabbi asked God for a special favor. He wanted to visit both heaven and hell before he died, and God granted the favor. He was brought into a room in the afterworld, and in that room a group of unhappy, emaciated people sat around a pot of food hanging over a fire. They were trying to feed themselves, but their efforts were in vain because their spoons were too long for them to put the food in their mouths. This, he was told, was hell. And then he was taken to an identical room with a similar group of people sitting around another pot of food with the same long spoons, but there was merriment and joy. The only difference was that here they fed each other. This, he was told, was heaven. The Christian community must be one in which we feed each other. The Christian community must be one in which we support one another in telling our stories, knowing that they will be listened to, knowing that they will be heard. Let us bow together in prayer. Help us, O God, to be nourished by nourishing others. Help us to accept even as we are accepted. Help us to love even as we are recipients of love. And thank you for those support communities where this takes place. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, who has called us into such a fellowship. Amen.